Of the many topics in Parshat Balotcha, I want to focus on the selection of the Levim. Now, it really is not that accurate to say the selection of the Levim, because they've been selected somewhere along the line. It's one of these things that keeps on coming up again and again. Okay, take the Levim, we'll choose the Levim, the Levim are going to take over, they're going to run. I mean, we've been hearing about this for a while, and it's not the first time it's being said, but over here, it actually gets implemented. So we'll look a little bit about how it's implemented, and then we're going to go back to try to understand the larger issue. That the Levim will be working in the Mishkan. So in source number one, by Deber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Kach et Levim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'tiharta otam. Take the Levim from the midst of the of Bnei Israel, and to purify them. So, the taking them from the midst, mitoch Bnei Israel, makes it sound that right now, before you take them, they're exactly the same as everyone else in Eretz Israel, or Bnei Israel. V'kol taseh lahem, this is what you should do, litaharam, in order to purify them, hazeh aleihem mechatat, you'll sprinkle upon them mechatat veviru ta'ar al kol besaram, and you'll take a razor and cut all of their hair from their entire body, v'kibsu bigdehem, their clothing as well, v'hi taharu, and they will be purified, v'lachu par ben bakar, that specifically the animal which they're to bring is a par ben bakar, u'minchato solat b'ula b'shemen, u'par sheni ben bakar tikach lachatat, and a second par to bring for a sin offering, Vikrafta et Levim lefnei Ohamoed, they'll bring close towards the Ohamoed. Vikalta et kol adat bnei Israel, you'll gather the entire community together. Vikrafta et Levim lefnei Hashem, and they'll be brought there close to the Mishkan in front of God. Visamchu bnei Israel et yedehim al ha-Levim. So, okay, right. It sounds like they are the korban that all Am Yisrael is going to put their hands on top of Levim. Then it says, "V'hinif Aharon et Leviim." V'hinif Aaron. This is one of the things we'll focus on today. Aaron will then lift them up. You have a fancier word in English for this?
Elevate.
Elevate is good, but elevate implies like some kind of magician, like David Copperfield, like goes like. Yeah, but he actually v'hinif. He's going to lift them up. V'hinif Aharon et Leviim, hoist. That's what I was waiting for. V'hinif Aaron et Leviim tnufa lefnei Hashem. A lifting is where the killer comes from. Lefnei Hashem. They ate b'nei Yisrael. V'yu lavod et avodat Hashem. And then they can serve. By the way, just think about Aaron at the end of his day. He lifted. Yeah, lifting up a whole bunch of Leviim. Okay. V'haleviim Yismuchu et yideim arosh haparim. Then the Levim are going to put their hands on top of the parim. Vasei et achad chatat v'achad ola l'Hashem l'chaper al Levim. So we have over here a two-stage process. One is Levim are the ones who are the object, and then the Levim become, they use the animals as the object. V'manat Levim l'fnei aron l'fnei banav v'nafta otam. We read that already? No, it's repeating it, right? Am I wrong? It's repeating it. Ve'nafta otam tnufat l'Hashem. So again, it comes back to this idea of the lifting. V'hivdalta et Levim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'yu li ha-Levim. They'll become separate from the rest of b'nei Yisrael, and they will become mine. V'acharechen yavo Levim la'avod et o'am o'ed, v'tiharta otam ve'nafta otam tnufa. By the way, you realize this is already the third time it's telling them that they're going to become pure and they're going to be lifted. Ki netunim netunim heima li mitoch b'nei Yisrael, because they're mine. Tachad pitrat kol rechem bichor kol bnei Yisrael lakachti otam li, that they are the ones who are coming to serve as replacement of the firstborn of all of bnei Yisrael. I'm taking them to me, which means that originally you have the bichor, and now they're the replacement of the bichor. And as I said again, this is not the first time this is being said. Ki li kol bichor b'bnei Yisrael ba'adam v'vema b'yom hakoti kol b'chor b'eretz Yisrael hikdashti otam li. That when did the b'chor become holy? When did the b'chor become mine? That during, you know, that at midnight that night in Egypt, on literally on Passover, on that night. So what happened? That the firstborn of the Egyptians were struck and the firstborn of the Jews were saved. At that moment, they became holy. They became holy at that moment. You could say maybe they also should have been killed the same way that the Egyptians were killed, however you want to nuance it. At that moment, at midnight, that's what it says, Biyom hakoti kol b'chor b'eretz Yisrael, hikdashti otam li. At that moment, I took them for mine. They were saved. For what purpose? They were saved for divine birth, for divine service. And now I'm taking the Leviim instead of the Bechor. The Leviim, of course, were catapulted to this position as a result of during the cleanup work after the Chet Egel, when it's also there's a death and then there's those who are not killed. Those who served the Egel were killed by the Leviim. At that moment, they take the place. So it's interesting that when the firstborn of the Egyptians are killed, then the firstborn of the Jews get chosen. And then when the Jews serve the Egel, and most likely the Kohanim who were serving the Egel were the firstborn. I mean, that's an unfortunate... I mean, they're the Kohanim. They're the ones who should serve. So that was probably a very unfortunate decision. And at that moment, we have a second shift taking place. And then the Leviim come take the place of the firstborn. So it is interesting because it could have just said, Leviim come, you know, I got a job, you know, wanted, you know, divine service, choose Leviim, but it doesn't, very clearly that's not the process being described over here. It's a process of the Bechor was chosen, now they're taking the place of the Bechor, and then the various things which need to be done in order to create this type of a holiness within the Leviim now. Et Leviim nutanim la'aron la'vanav mitoch b'nei Yisrael la'avod et avodat b'nei Yisrael ba'o moed. It's interesting. They're the ones who will do the work of Am Yisrael, of b'nei Yisrael. They're the representatives. U'l'chaper b'nei Yisrael v'lo yeh b'nei Yisrael negev b'gesh b'nei Yisrael el ha'kodesh. All this is instructions, which, by the way, we've had these instructions more or less before, but what's special here, which is not the first time we've seen this in Bamidbar, there's been repetition, but the repetition for a very specific purpose, to say now is the implementation. Then, Pasukaf, Ayas Moshe v'Aaron, v'kol adat b'nei Yisrael l'Leviim, k'chol asher tzivah Hashem, et Moshe l'Leviim, k'en asu l'hem b'nei Yisrael. That everything instructed was then implemented. V'yitchatu l'Leviim, v'yichapsu b'gdeim, v'enaf Aaron otam t'nufa l'fnei Hashem, v'yichaper l'hem Aaron l'taharam. And by the way, it would have been enough just to say, and they did it, but now it goes and says exactly what they did, what was instructed. I think it's the bringing of the Korban Chatan. So as I said, the main purpose for this being told to us here is the fact it's being implemented right now. Now it's real, now we're going real time. Everything else was the plans till now, so now it's happening. But it really was somewhat repetitive, somewhat really specific when it told us what it needs to be done. Take a look at source number 2 at the Rikanati. The Rikanati, as we know, is a commentary primarily on the Ramban. One of the things about the commentary of the Ramban is the Ramban enjoys bringing Kabbalistic things as well. The Rikanati is one who likes to explain the Kabbalistic things within the Ramban. He does go off on his own every now and again and say his own things, but primarily the purpose of his commentary is to explain the Ramban. V'samchu b'nei Yisrael yideim ha'leviim. Ha'kavana b'smicha zot. Shikansu Leviim l'ritzot et midat hadin. Ulavod avodota shelo tachul al Yisrael. That the tension within the divine work that needs to be done is that you have the midat hadin and you have the midat rachamim. You have God's strictness and God's compassion. And part of what needs to take place over here is that the midat hadin gets some... shall we say, let's preoccupy it with something else and not focus on the Jewish people. Send the Midat Adin to Syria, send it to Iran and Iraq or whatever, but it shouldn't be focused over here. Again, v'zehu ta'am v'himif Aharon et Leviim. And that's the reason that Aharon lifts up the Leviim, t'nufa l'fnei Hashem, lifting in front of God, me'et b'nei Yisrael, v'yu la'avodat avodat Hashem, v'tam ha'yot t'nufa yidei Aharon kuhu ish Hachesed. Now, I think it's very clear that this line is not very clear. What he apparently is saying is, again, knowing where he's coming from, that you have God acting in terms of din and God acting in terms of chesed. And it seems to be that what he's describing over here is that a higher level, as it were, of God's interaction with us is an interaction of chesed, and a lower level of interaction is an interaction through din, and therefore lifting up the Levium, you are therefore lifting them up to become a part of the world of chesed. Aaron is a person who is a person of chesed, and therefore Aaron lifting them up is trying to bring them closer to whatever this means chesed. And Charlotte's already making faces at me over here, but we will try to understand this a little bit more as we proceed. Yeah. It's the physical action. The physical action seems to indicate a spiritual gesture as well. Okay.
Which would,
in every direction. Okay, so let's hold on a second. The kol zeh inyan mevorah bepasuk v'nen levim nedun la'aron levanav mitoch b'nei Yisrael, and so on. He says, all this is what is meant by this pasuk, kol ma shekatavti. V'ta'am, the last part of the Rekanati, v'ta'am ve'ekachat levim tachat kol b'chor b'nei Yisrael, and the reason that the levim were chosen to take the place of b'nei Yisrael, pirush, what's the understanding? Ki re'uyin hayu ha'levim likanes tachat ha'becharot ki mikoch echadu. That it's appropriate that levim take the place of the firstborn because they're coming from the same place, as it were. That they're coming from this. I know, it makes no sense, right? That's why you still need me. That he's saying is that this is an appropriate switch, as it were, because they're both cut from the same cloth, if you will. They both come from the same place, as it were. They both have the same power. There's something very similar about them. And okay, right now, we're somewhat befuddled because we have no idea what he's talking about. Because what in the world does one have to do with the other? So, let's try to note a couple of things along the way. First, let's note this idea of the lifting. So, some of you were trying to be very, very clever in terms of looking for comparisons to where a similar thing is done, right? So you went to Lulav, which again, I like it. What did you say? What? Omer. No, so there are places that tnufa, the very same word is used. Behinif, the same.
Yes.
So take a look at source number 3. By the Bereshit Moshe Lemor, Dov Bnei Yisrael Amar Lahem, Ki Tavoa La'aretz Asher Ani Noten Lachem, Uktzartem Et Ktzira, Ve'eitem Et Omer, Reshit Ktzirchem. Now pay attention again. What is the Omer? It's the Reshit. What's Reshit? Remember, we're looking for a Bechor, we're looking for a Levi someplace over here. So far we have over here that what do you do with the Omer, which is the Reshit? What do you do with it? What does it say? V'hinif et ha'omer lefnei Hashem. Those are the exact same words that were used by the Levi. L'ritzonchem b'machorat ha'shabbat yinifenu ha'kohen. V'hinif ha'kohen otam alechem ha'bikurim. Right, this is a little down the line by bikurim. What's bikurim? It's also the first fruit. It's also first. Right, tnufa lefnei Hashem. So what we see is that when it comes to the first, in terms of agriculture, there is the same concept of tnufa. Good? We have something which may or may not be similar, and over here we're going to read a pasuk, and the pasuk is not going to help us at all, but then we'll read an Ibn Ezra which will confuse us more. Source 4 is very, very end of Sefer Vayikra. V'koma asar bakar. So now we've moved over to the animals. The tenth, the teething of the animals. V'koma asar bakar v'tzon kol sheyavor tachet hashavet ha'asiriya kodesh l'Hashem. The tenth should be kodesh for Hashem. What else is kodesh for Hashem? We've already seen in terms of animals. The bechor. So by animals, what's kodesh? What's kodesh is the tenth, and what's kodesh is the first. What happens also in terms of agriculture? What do we see has holiness? The first has holiness, and the tenth has holiness. Okay, take a look at the Ibn Ezra now. Source 5. You have to love the Ibn Ezra when he writes things like this. Tachar ha-shevet shevet ha-ro'eh, v'hinei ha-nivchar hu ha-echad v'ha-asiri. What's chosen? The first and the tenth. Shaveh k'mozeh. They have some kind of equality one to the other. Rak ha-asiri galenu v'ein kein ha-bachor, v'nei tein ha-bachor v'asiri b'peima u'v'zer ha-aretz, sh'yatvua ha-bachorim v'ha-ma'asar. Maaser. So what he's saying over here is exactly what I told you before we looked here, that there is some kind of a comparison between both in terms of animals and in terms of agriculture, in terms of the first and in terms of the tenth, that they both have some kind of a uniqueness or something special about them. The Ibn Ezra ends up in Pasuk Lamed Daled, Bahar Sinai, Pirishtiv, Parashat Azot, Mi sheyesh lo lev lahavin sod haolam, people who have the sensitivity to understand secrets of the world, az yeda sod habachor va'asiri, they will then understand the secret of the firstborn and of the tenth.
Ibn Ezra speaking like this?
Oh yeah, he likes speaking like this.
Vihine
Avraham natan hama'aser. Where did Avram give ma'aser? Right, after the king, the war of the four kings against the five kings, by the way, it's not clear in that pasuk who gave maaser. It's not really clear, but he says, okay, Avram gave the maaser. We won't argue. Gam kein Yaakov avinu olav shalom, and also Yaakov gave maaser. Where did Yaakov give maaser? Yeah, and when did he give it?
After
he came
back.
Okay, it doesn't say. It doesn't say. The first of many Jews who made a donation. You know the I can't tell the joke now. I can't do it. Yes? No? Okay. One of those, yeah. No, not a DJ dinner. This was by Yisker and Yom Kippur, that people are donating certain things, and a guy says $50, $500, $50,000. So they give him after Yonah, they give him everything, they make a dinner, they honor him. A couple weeks go by, he never gives the check. Another couple of weeks go by, they go over to him, he goes, what $50,000? What are you talking about? They gave him after Yoni. He goes, I don't remember anything. So they get incensed with him. He got all this honor, all this kavod, and he got after Yoni, and he never gave anything. They took him to court. So in court, the judge, all witness after witness after witness, heard the man declare he's giving the money. So at the end, the judge declared, okay, you have to pay the $50,000 and the court costs. So he walked out of there, never showed his face in shul again. Years goes by, 2 years goes by, 10 years go by, 15 years, 20 years go by, the guy shows up in shul on Yom Kippur. Again, they have an appeal. One guy says 50, 500, 5,000. He raises his hand, $50,000 I'm going to give. They ignore him. $50,000, they ignore him. He goes, $50,000 plus court costs. Okay? Okay, so Yaakov Avinu, I'm sure, if he made a donation, and Yaakov's a good Jew, and Yaakov never fooled anybody, so I'm quite confident that Yaakov paid his dues.
That's why he changed his name.
I quoted you this week regarding why Yisro had seven names. They enjoyed it. My father says that Yisro had seven names because he had seven daughters, and after each wedding he went bankrupt, so he had to change name and... So let's get back to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, Avram gives Ma'aser, Yaakov Avinu also, Va'od egalek tzat hasod b'zichri ma'aser sheni, im ya'azrini echad ve'ein lo sheni. This is how he ends his commentary on Sefer Vayikra. And he gives you hints to go looking at other places. He does this lots of times, by the way. He gives little hints. He's a great writer who kept the suspense up. You end this book and you want to go and look by the next one to see what he had to say. And I went and I followed all the leads over here, but I'm not going to talk about it anymore in terms of what the Ibn Ezra says. over here he's telling us there is something special about the Bechor and about Maaseh. And by the way, all this has nothing to do with anything, because what are we looking for? We're looking for the firstborn, we're looking for Levi. So look at this Medrash Agadah in source number 6. And 6, 7, and 8 are all going to say the same thing. They're just going to nuance it a little differently, but then it's going to hopefully make sense at some point. Aser Asrenu Lach, I'm going to give a tenth of whatever I have. The Midrash Agadah says, V'afilu mi banav, and even from his children, he's going to give a tenth. U'lefichach Levi hu asiri, and therefore Levi is the tenth. Now there's only one problem with this. Oh, God, you guys are quick today. There's only one problem. What are you talking about? And therefore Levi is the tenth. Now the first thing which is interesting, the first thing which is interesting with this is that this midrash is trying to somehow connect Levi with Maaser. Yaakov makes a vow, I'm going to dedicate to God the tenth, and it's not just of his possessions, it's also, right, whatever you give me, I'm going to, by the way, that's part of the problem making a vow. Anybody who's learning right now, you're learning Daf Yomi and Darim, completely confused yet or no? Completely confused. Good. That means that you do. That means you're learning the right thing. It's still reeling. Okay. And then don't worry. In a couple days, it's going to then start with the difference between Nedarim and Shavuot. That's the next couple of Mishnayot. You started that already. Okay. Good. So now you're completely confused. By the way, one's a Gavra, one's a Chefta. There you go. Everything is settled. So when you say that I'm going to give a tenth of everything you give me, and you leave an open ended vow. Or oath. I'm not going to get into distinction now between the two. If you just say it open-ended like that, maybe it does include. By the way, neder, the word neder, comes in terms of the etymology, as far as Rabbeinu Chai is concerned, as dira l'Hashem. A neder, it goes in terms of objects. It's a dira, it's on the object. The neder, dira l'Hashem, that's how you remember, a neder is the object. The shur goes on the person, the neder goes on the object. Yaakov makes a neder and says, whatever God gives me, I'm going to give a tenth to God. So hold it a second. God gave him lots of things over the years, including he gave him a whole bunch of kids. So that's the first hint that we're getting in it. It says it in one line, but hold it. How do we get to Levi? How in the world did Levi come out the tenth? That sounds to be quite creative. Source number 7, the Ha'evin Hazot Asher Samti Matseva Yebet Elokim. And that's what I'm saying. The first neder really is a Dira Lashem. It's Beit Elokim. The Kol Asher Titein Le Aser Asrenu Lach Kuti Achad She'al Drobi Meir Heichon Iser Yaakov Et Banav. So it's interesting. A non-Jew says this. He goes, everything God gives him, where did he give a tenth of his children? So what's Rav Meir's answer? Amr Lo, Rav Meir answers, Levi Asiri Kodesh. Levi is the tenth, and therefore holy. So again, this is must be the new math, because this doesn't seem to make sense as far as we know. Kishitotze Ruven v'Shimon. Now, why are we taking off Ruven and Shimon? Nishar Levi Rosh la'asara hanotrim. Then Levi becomes first to the other ten. But everything that we just now said is not very easy to understand. V'hu kodesh l'sharei p'beit Hashem, v'ruvim v'shimon Ephraim v'menashek, v'ruvim v'shimon Ephraim v'menashek, v'ruvim v'shimon Yuli, tachat elu ha'arba b'chorim shel Rachel v'leya v'zilpo bila shebachorim kedoshim yirechem v'ein tzrichin lehitaseh. Now, part of what he just now did will become clearer in the next source. Part of it I can't help you with. But what he is saying is, okay, Yaakov has how many children? Well, that also depends. Yeah, we don't count the girl. I heard it keep saying about the girl. The girl gets sacrificed anyway. Let's focus right now on the sons. Of the sons, four of them are firstborns. Why are four of them firstborn? Because there's four different mothers. So the four that are firstborn, even though we're talking about firstborns long before we have Yitzhak Mitzrayim and so on, but the four firstborn, so therefore they're already Kodesh Lashem, because they're firstborn. So you can't consider within them the possibility of making them holy, because they're already holy. So therefore, they're taken out of the equation. Look at the next source, 8, the Seichel Tov, B'chol Asher Titin Li Aser Surin Elach, Evin Lashon Echiva, Yehet, and let's skip over here. V'yam Uvtach Afilo Abanim. Okay, Klomer, Eser Nechnasin, Aserenu Afilo Abanim, even the children. V'yam Uvtach She'amid Yud Bet Shvatim, L'fichach Neder La'asran. V'chein Asa, Hifrish Et Levi, Shenemar Ephraim Menashe, Kruvin Shimon Yuli. V're Yud Dalet Shvatim, how do you get to Yudalid? You just add it on. As he frish arba bicharot the ledalid imahot, shabachor kodesh mirechem ve'in kodesh podet kodesh notnu asara v'frish meimet levi l'sharet et Hashem. Right. So this is also funny math. I once saw in the Targum Yonatan who says this same idea, but he says it slightly differently. He says it like this: you take the 12 sons. And you take away the 4 firstborn. When you take away the 4 firstborn, and now you start counting. Who do you start counting with? You count with Shimon. You start with Shimon. So Shimon is number 1. Who's number 2?
Levi.
Okay, so now keep on counting, and what do you get to? How many are left? How many do you have?
8.
So you have 8. No. According to this, you have 8 left. This is before Ephraim and Asher come in the picture. You have 8 altogether. So you started by Shimon. Shimon's 1, Levi's 2, and you get up to 8. So now you start counting again from the beginning. Shimon then is 9, and then Levi is 10. And that's the way that you count in terms of Maaser Behema. You count as they cross through the As I said, he has more than 10, so therefore he has to give Maaser, but he has a different problem. Which one of these is worthy to be Maaser? So the one which is worthy to be Maaser is you take the ones worthy as Maaser and you send them through, and that way Levi really does come out as 10. That's the only way that I can suggest that that this makes any kind of sense, that you can claim, like, look, again, there's 2 levels to this. The first level to this is this idea that Yaakov dedicates one of his children to be to be dedicated to Hashem. That's the first stage. Yaakov says, a tenth I'm going to give. Second thing is that the Bechor is not appropriate to give because it's already given. So now I need to be creative in counting. Yaakov has more than 10, so he has to give, but the 4 of them he can't give. So then how do you count? You count from the beginning, and you go till you have to now identify which is the 10th one. When you do this, the 10th one actually comes Levi. If anybody didn't understand that, I apologize. If you did understand it, then I'm really more frightened. But what's interesting is that is more the direction that all of this is going in. These various midrashim, what they're really doing is that they're saying that both of these concepts of holiness, which are going to be revealed down the line, already are there within Yaakov. And now this is not as strange as perhaps it sounds at first glance. Because, again, what's Yaakov saying at this point? Yaakov is standing right there with nothing and saying, oh, there's going to be a future. And in this future, we're going to have. By the way, what does Yaakov say I'm going to build? That's probably the most important part. What does Yaakov say I'm going to build? A Beit Hashem. I'm going to build a Beit HaMikdash. I'm building a holy place. So now, tell me what's the next step. If you have a holy place, what then has to happen? Somebody has to serve within the holy place. So within this midrash, filling in the missing information, saying, okay, who's going to serve? I essentially have 2 candidates who are going to serve. What are my 2 candidates? Either the firstborn or from Shevet Levi. Those are my candidates. So now I just have to work backwards and say, okay, now how can I creatively come to a situation to show the holiness within Levi? Now, when we saw before that it was the Rakanati who had said ki mekoch echad hu, they come from a similar place, and then we saw afterwards the holiness which applies both to the first and to the 10th. So that you realize this is not just something which is, we're playing Monday morning quarterback, and we're just trying to figure out how we can somehow ascribe holiness to these 2 concepts. No, the concept of Maaser and the concept of Bechor are ones which have followed us all the way through, and it's perhaps more surprising to find Maaser back in Sefer Bereishit, but even when Maaser is found, right, by Yaakov, we have this tension between the first versus the 10th. what else did we hear along the way? That they really come from the same place. There is a similarity, and therefore we're not all that surprised to find that these things, when it comes to agriculture, when it comes to animals, and one more thing, and people, that's the last part which is there, and people, to find that there is some kind of a similarity, and therefore the replacement of the Bechor through Levi should not surprise us all that much. Good? Yes. So that's a good question about the Kohanim. Are the Kohanim chosen because they're also from Levi? Or are the Kohanim chosen because Aaron is chosen and therefore Aaron's descendants? So are these points interrelated or are these points separate? Maybe we'll see a little bit more now as we continue. Look at source 9, it's the Zohar. It says, V'heinif Aaron et Leviim tnufa lefnei Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda she'il l'Rabbi Abba, Lama hoya ha-Kohen me'nif et Leviim. Why does the Kohen lift up the Leviim? So here's a surprising answer. Omer lo, mashalama davar dome, letinok, kishuhu boche v'koes, ma'usin, kidei lefaiso. You lift up the baby, and you shake the baby a little bit, and you get, right, I don't know what they do, they won't let me touch the baby. So, except by the breast they let me hold. See how that worked out. He didn't cry that much. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, sorry. Melson kidei lefaiso. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda minifnoto uminaanim oto kidei leshotko. There you have your ninuim. You see the word uminaanim oto kidei leshotko. Now you can come and say that it's the ninuim, and maybe the same way that ninuim is a kabbalah al machut shemayim and so on. So the Zohar is connecting the ninuim together with the tnufa, but it seems to be that there's something else going on. Amalei Rabbi Abra Yehuda Yehuda Mila Zot Bali Adcha V'Lo Chakarta Ba V'Lo Yishmu Oz Nacha Mashapicha Medaber Kachi Midat Hagvura Koeset V'Rogezet. That again, what's the problem over here? Now, what it's going to I want to go back to your question: why Aaron or why the Kohanim are chosen? What's Aaron's reputation? Aaron's reputation. Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. Aaron is one of the good guys. Aren't so many in Judaism, right? There's Hillel, there's Aaron, there's Shammai was a good guy. Okay, Aaron himself. When you think about Aaron, it's all these nice positive things. On the other hand, what is Shevet Levi? Even though Aaron comes from Levi, there's this disconnect. Shevet Levi, what? Yeah, Shevet Levi, the Kanaim, they're the ones who are taking up the swords, they're the ones who are chopping down cities and so on and so forth, which means that's what the second part of the Zohar is going to. Hold, why is it Leviim need to be lifted up and cuddled and calmed down? He's saying, pay attention to what you're saying. That's the exact words of the Zohar. Do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? Pay attention to what this really means. This means that on a spiritual level, we need Levi to be transformed. We need Levi to be transformed from a, so it says it, from a crying baby who's out of control, to be transformed to something else. I'm sorry, again, these are not my words. These are exactly the words that the Zohar uses. Well, I'll read it again. Aznach, right? So Levi initially has midat hagvura. Why do they midat hagvura? Strength, because they go in and they wipe out a city. Koeset v'rogezet. Dichtiv. Shimon v'Levi achim. Kalei chamas mechorotayim. What are they? They're walking around with weapons. Uktiv. Arur apam ki az avratam ki kashata. That Yaakov curses their anger. They were poised to go out with their anger, with the gvura, to go and to kill and to meet justice in the world. Isaiah Kohen. So now you see a Kohen is separate from Levi, which is interesting, because that comes from Aaron. Isaiah Kohen, Shehu HaChesed HaOyon, Minif Oto Hatzad Shelevim Shehimidat HaGvura. Right, I've said this before, you thought I was crazy. Right, this is what we'd seen before, what the Rekhanati was really doing before, he was quoting the Zohar, is that the Midat HaDin is being lifted up by the Midat HaRachim. Again, calm down, shh, calm down. Kidei LeShakech, Ulishaket Ragza Vikaasa. in order to calm down the anger and, how would you translate, ragza v'ka'asa, the anger and the anger, anger squared. Kedei sheyishtabru hase'arot mikol shuleihem v'lo yitgabru v'lo yitchazku ke'en dugmazu ha'kohen shemenif et leviyim tnufa kedei sheyishkot atzad shel gvurat shelen kedei shelo yit'orer hadin ba'olam. That the whole process over here of the lifting up of the Levim is not some, you know, no, it's lifting up in order to take the Midat Hadin and turn it into Midat Rachamim. So now let's continue in the Rekanati, in source number 10. The Berel B'nei Yisro Mar Telem Ki Tavol Aretz Hashem Yitven Lechem V'Katzartem Et Ktzura V'Hiretem Et Omer Reshit Ktzirchem El Kohen Minchata Omer Ba Min HaSorim V'Haremez L'Midat Hadin. So Arim is Midat Adin. Uba b'tchila katzir, we'll skip a little bit. V'amar asher ni noten lachem kihi v'notenu k'tzartem k'tzira shal Midat Adin. V'alkein amru rabotenu zirchon l'vrcha ki k'tzira ha'omer b'layla. Rem is l'midat layla, which means this whole process over here of the omer as well is something about Midat Adin. It's night, it's dark, it's... Alkein hu kalui ba'esh, which is din as well. Shenem aviv kalui ba'esh ki minchata omer hakatuv medaber. V'tam hevato el kohen shetit ale midat hadin l'midat rachamim. What I'm pointing out over here in the Rekanati is he's describing the exact same process of the tnufa of the kohen of the levi with the tnufa of the omer. It's the same thing taking place, this shift between midat hadin to midat rachamim. V'tam v'hinif et ha'omer lefnei Hashem l'ritzonchem b'sod v'tihi l'ritzon tamid avodat Yisrael amecha v'sod shelo yishlot ba mikatreg u'kfar pirashtiv v'yesh mefreshim ki ha'omer remez l'shchina shehi reshit tevuato shekadosh baruch shenem ha'kadosh Yisrael l'Hashem reshit tevuata. Now we're going to the first again. Behe remez lahe afkona shel Hashem v'sod akvarato l'Hashem yitalek esod v'kravtem ishe l'Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here. That's enough. The Ramchal, in his commentary to the Torah, the Nif Aharon, Hagvurot Yeshlem Shnei Zmanim Imhem Nishvalot Lamata Haklipot Achuzot Behem Vimhem Mitromot Az Adarab Haklipot Nichnaim Ayadam. So he just now, I was waiting for someone to bring this in, he just connected it to a whole other idea, which means the lifting up, he sees also the lifting up when Moshe lifts up his arm during the war against Amalek, which by the way, you can say the exact same thing again, it's the Midat Adin turning to Midat Rachamim in order to save the Jewish people who were attacked, but he includes that as well, just in case you're not really sure that's what he's talking about. He continues at Levim, the last line, Shehem Sodag Vorot, Heim Heim Amitkanim Amachut Feshamim Otam Minachitzoniim, which means this whole process of lifting up over here, the lifting up is also the lifting up by Moshe. That's another application. The Sfat Emet uses at least one more place that he applies the same concept by Parshat Akedah. By Parshat Akedah, V'yechadrim Eileh, Elokim nisa et Avraham. Now, this is something I'd mentioned in passing a couple of weeks ago, and I was questioned on it by a second application of the same word. Elokim nisa et Avraham. So all of you would translate as, and God tested Avraham. Kine Avraham avinu olav ha-shalom haya ish chesed. V'mshicha chesedim l'kol olam. V'ratza l'karev kol habruim. Avram was a man totally of chesed. Chesed is all over. Chesed is breaking out all over. Aval hitchil litzpashed chesed yoter midai. But there was a problem. There was too much chesed. L'chein, achar shekarat britim, avimelech, elokim nisa. And therefore, afterwards, God nisa, which he's not just translating the word yet. De'ita midat ha-chesed hu litzpashed u'midat ha-gvura leharim. By the way, he's saying the exact same idea backwards from what we've had till now. Laharim l'shursha, k'ma shekutuv b'zor hakodesh, tnufat zahav, v'rim ha'liviyim ayin sham. So he's going back to the lifting over here, but as I'm saying, just pay attention how he's using it. V'kan elokim nisa, what does it mean that God, again, the word nisa, which we would always have translated as tested, v'hirim et Avraham, he lifted Avraham up. latsur rov hachesed, to stop Avram from having too much chesed, ula akvo b'midat hadin, and to slow him down by giving him a little midat hadin. And here it is nisa elokim et Avraham. Therefore, it's elokim, it's midat hadin, which lifts up Avraham. Why is this necessary? Ze shekatuv b'midrash, natat liyerecha nes, b'bnei kushat l'kashet midat hadin ba'olam, hu shorish midat Yaakov, d'chtiv titon emet liyakov. D'mira kadosh baruch hu rav chesed ve'emet, God is chesed ve'emet, hinei ki chesed hu lefnim mishurat hadin, im kol zehu be'emet, l'misha zocheh be'emet la'chesed. Right, you can't give chesed to anyone, someone who deserves the chesed. Ulechein ka'asher ne'etzav Avram b'shlichut Yishmael, hishiv lo kadosh baruch hu b'yitzchak yikara l'chazara. Pirish, midat ha'chesed shocha tzorach od lehitbarer b'yitzchak, u'mizeh yotze Yaakov shehu chesed be'emet. So what he's describing over here is something which is already found in the Maharal beforehand and is hinted in the Midrashim as well, that ultimately the avot represent God in this world. Avram represents an aspect of God of chesed, and Yitzchak represents the aspect of God of din, and Yaakov represents the aspect of God of this combination of them, which is, we can call it rachamim, teferet, emet. All of those things come together, but ultimately what the Sfat Emet is saying over here is Avraham's chesed by itself is too much, it's inappropriate in some places, it's being used, and therefore Hashem nisa et Elokim nisa et Avraham. Avram needs to be uplifted, taken from his chesed, which is source 12, taken from his chesed, which is too much, combined, or better than combined, modified, when it gets interacted with Yitzchak's din, b'Yitzchak yikra zarecha, Yitzchak, your children, is going to be modified, which means you need this mixture of the chesed and the din, and what results of that, then results Yaakov, which he says is really the objective of this entire process. Yeah.
Raises an interesting possibility. Where do you see too much chesed in the time of the book? That was the start.
Yeah.
In
terms of Stom, in terms of Yishmael, in terms of making a Brit with Avimelech, once you want to attack Avram for being too nice, you can attack him for everything. Up and down the line, you can attack him for being too nice. But what it's saying is that Avram Nisa doesn't mean tested. That's really what I wanted to show here, that the Nisa doesn't mean tested. He's understanding Nisa the same thing as the Hinif, that the Nisa is that Avram needs to be lifted up in order to become transformed to something else. Yeah.
It's the opposite lifting.
Yeah. As I said, the Sfat Emet is saying it in the opposite way that we've seen till now. Right? 100%. He's saying it opposite. But what he's saying is because we need to get to the objective. We need to get to the objective, which is to get to Yaakov, and Yaakov is going
to
be this type of combination. Could be. Could be. When God does the lifting. So now, take a look. Yes. No, but he's saying chesed where it's deserved, not where it's... Meaning, you have to get to the proper chesed, which is really what he's saying is what Yaakov is. It's the proper type of chesed. Avram's chesed is a lower chesed because it's inappropriate chesed, because it's being used in inappropriate ways. Right. So you need the boundaries. You need the boundaries. You need, but then you're ultimately going to lift it up and create real chesed, which is chesed, how it's supposed to be applied. Now, this is what you questioned me on a couple of weeks ago. Look at source 13. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, this is right after Aseret HaDibrot, when they didn't want to hear God speaking anymore. Ki la'avur nasot etchem ba'alokim. So what does nasot mean? So you say it means to test. U'bavur tiyeh yirat ha'openechem levoti techtav. So first of all, you can look at the psikta, which we really don't need. Ki la'avur nasot elokim b'shir le'gadel etchem bein ha'umot ba'alokim k'shem shahanes gavoa. What's the word nes over here? A degel, a flag. He wants to, something which is waved, something which is very high. Kach titnasu alumot. This is how you're going to be uplifted. So you think the psikta is a wild interpretation. Guess what? Rashi says the same thing on this pasuk. Next, source 14. Lavur nasot etchem legadel etchem bolam. Shiyatza lechem shem ba'umot shuhu bechvodo nigal etchem. Nasot loshon harama v'gdula. Rashi says, bavur nasot elokim means to be lifted up. that all of Am Yisrael are lifted up by Har Sinai. That's the objective over here, is to lift them up, take them to a different place. Which therefore, when I go back to the Akedah and realize that that's what it made me there, mean there as well, so then this concept of tnufa, of uplifting, is one of trying to create more Kedusha. Let's pay attention now. It's by Har Sinai, it's to create more Kedusha. Why do I say that? Because that's what the Pasuk says. Right? He wants to make you higher. He wants to make you holier. He wants to lift you up. Which means over here, we realize that God wants to speak to all of Am Yisrael. What does Am Yisrael want? They want to run away. Right? This is where they recoil. This is where they move back. And Moshe says God wants to uplift you. Not he wants to test you. He wants to uplift you, take you to another place. Tragically, what happens? Am Yisrael is not willing to be lifted up. They're not willing to be lifted up. They don't want to be lifted up. They don't want to be lifted up and taken to another place. What happens then? Then the Chet HaEgel afterwards, and then Bechor, and then Lev, which means this whole process of having to lift up the Leviim, here's what happens. All of Am Yisrael still to be lifted up, but they're just not willing to be lifted up. I think that there is... Let's take a look at the Sfornos. It's the same thing. Levor nasot elchem, laharigchem el hanivuah. What does it mean to lift you up? That you'll all have the level of nivuah all the time. It means lifted up to a whole different spiritual strata that Am Yisrael eventually, as I said, recoils from, they're not interested in, they don't want, and or something which they find a little too frightening. So again, this idea of the lifting of Leviim, which is similar to the lifting of, we have it in terms of the agriculture, right, by the Omri, by the Bikurim, that this, then we saw that we also find, okay, we'll tie it all in, but I wanted to say, just see one more thing, which may or may not be connected to this. Source 16 we're going to skip, it's the Bera Mayim Chaim. If you want a Hasidic read on some of this, you can read it as well. There may have been somebody else who really went through all of this, and just like Am Yisrael recoils and doesn't live up to the lifting, it's somebody else recoils and does not like this at all. And this, on at least on a midrashic level, as we'll see as we continue, may be the background for the whole Korach rebellion. So let's read a couple of things about Korach. Source 17. Veikalu al Moshe al Aaron, v'yomu lehem rav lechem ki kol eda kulam kidoshim, u'betocham Hashem, u'mado tinasu al kal Hashem. So over here, Moshe is being, everybody is holy. So when we read this, how do we read it? Right? Normally, all of Am Yisrael is holy. So what makes you, lama tinasu? Pay attention. Why are you lifted up on top of everybody else? Look at the Chizkuni in 18. Ki kol eda kulam kidoshim heim habichorim. He's not talking about everybody. He's talking about the Bechorim, which means what's the flip side of the Levim taking the place of the Bechorim? Now you suddenly have a disenfranchised Bechorim. So that's part of the manipulation of Korach, is that he gathers around the disenfranchised and he's going to try to speak for them. So it's interesting that the way that the Chizkuni hears this, everybody is holy. It's not everybody is holy. Lamatit Nasu, why did you lift up? It goes back to the Tnufa. Why did you lift up the Levim over the firstborn? Rabbeinu Bachai, kulam kadoshim, same thing, ala b'charot, amar kain. Kinyan shekatuv, kadosh li kol b'char, kulam kadoshim, who's kadosh? The b'char is kadosh. So as I said, we see a couple noticing over here. So that whole pasuk is very different than we normally read it. Everybody is holy, it's not really everybody. Lamatit na'asu, why do you lift up them instead of them? And as I said, that sounds to be what's going on. The Sforno, we've seen the Sforno before, he reads a great deal of cynicism into this Kulam Kedoshim. Kulam Kedoshim mikaf regel va'ad rosh. We're holy from our feet up to our heads. You've given us so much holiness. What have you done to us? The laws how you're supposed to tie your shoes, and laws how you're supposed to put this, and laws how you're supposed to do this. You have laws on everything. Kulam Kedoshim means it's too much holiness. So this is a complaint. Now, I do want to remind you of something. Who's speaking here? Korach is speaking. Who's Korach? What family does he come from? He's a Levi. So what's going on here? If as Rabbeinu Bachaye and the Chizkuni told us that there is a complaint being waged on behalf of the firstborn because the Levium took the place of the firstborn, how ironic is it that a Levi is the one who's speaking about this? Unless, of course, that Levi really doesn't want to be in his position. He didn't like this whole idea of being lifted. He didn't like this whole idea of this new position. And the Sforno then catches it exactly. And he calls him on this and saying, Kulam Kedoshim, not as, oh, we are all holy. We have holiness coming out of our ears already. Enough holiness already. I mean, there's too much holiness here. So I said, that becomes a very interesting read on this. But again, where's all this coming from? So I think it's the following midrash. In source 21, V'kalu al Moshe ve'al Aharon. They gathered around Moshe and Aharon. V'yikach Korach. So now you know, you've seen this in various Mefarshim, Rashi. What did he take? Because it's a non sequitur. V'yikach Korach doesn't say what he took. So they fill in, what did he take? They said he took a talit which was tchelet. Why? Because the very end of Balotcha, or not, of Shlach, talks about taking his parshat tzitzit and tchelet. Lakach talito v'halach litol eitza mi'ishto. So he went and to get advice from his wife. Don't worry, we also... There are the two wives which were played off one against the other. Right? Okay. Kisha... Kisha Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, Kachet Leviim mitoch Bnei Yisrael v'taharta otam v'kota asulahim l'taharam. When the whole process was described, v'vir ta'ar al kol b'saram miyad asakein l'Korach. So Korach had all of his hair cut off. So what's it playing on? It's playing on his name Korach, that he's bald. Kireach, he's bald. Right, if I'm not mistaken, that's what the Midrash is doing. Hitchil lechzor al Yisrael. He comes back after this was done to him. Lo hayu mekirim oto. Nobody recognized him. Right, he had beautiful hair beforehand. Again, which is played off of the hair of the wife of On. Which now you realize the hair becomes this interesting subtext to that whole story. No one recognizes him. Amrullah, they said to him, Mia salcha kach. Who did this to you? Korach, where'd you get such a bad haircut? Like, what happened to you? Amar lahem, Moshe asabi. Moshe did this to me. V'lo od, elo notli biyadai v'raglai v'yu manifim oti. Not only that, they were lifting me up, and you don't know what they were doing to me. They were humiliating me. But it's interesting, Moshe. I would have thought it was Aaron. V'omer li harei ata tahor. He says, now you're pure. But his brother Aaron, they dressed him up like a bride and put this beautiful clothing on him, and he's sitting there on Aaron, and I'm bald, I'm Korach, I'm Kireach. By the way, the Midrash does play on this a little later on. It looked, I couldn't find it, and it says that he had a lot. He's very wealthy, he's very smart, he had a lot, and he lost everything that he had. Yotzak Kireach mipo mipo. He ended up losing what he had. But again, all of this is a play on the name Korach. But what do you realize now? On a midrashic level, it's looking at the whole rebellion of Korach as a rebellion against the process of being uplifted and a process of becoming a Levi and a process of becoming holy. That's what he doesn't want, which is why I love now, again, in retrospect, I love the Sforno's interpretation. He's not reading this as even a popularist statement, oh, everybody's holy, you know, all holy, why are you... No. It's a rebellion against Moshe, against God. Why are you giving us so much holiness? Just stop with your holiness. And that's what the Midrash is reading here. Look what you've done to me. But again, what would be the counter argument to Korach? What are you talking about? You were, again, all the nice things we said before. You were lifted up. You were turned into something which is holy. The original holiness which was within you, within Shevet Levi, was revealed. All of that Korach completely ignores. So what did we say? We saw as follows, that the Levium are chosen to take the place of the firstborn. We saw a statement made that it was appropriate that the Levium take the place of the firstborn because there's something that they have in common. What they have in common at first glance, you have no idea what's talking about. The way that they're chosen is there's a process going on here, including the hair being cut off, including various korbanot, smicha, smicha on them, hands placed on them, they place their hands on the animal. We have this shnufa, the lifting up. We find the process of the lifting up also done with the omer and with the bikurim. We find something similar, and those were both first things. So here, the Levium take the place of the first, so it's interesting that the idea of the tnufa is something done to the first, right? It's done to the first in terms of the agriculture, and now it's being done to the Levi, so the Levi becoming the first, or replacing the first, we're doing the same process that we do with the Bikurim, with the Omer, so that became interesting. We then heard, you know, this thing from the Ibn Ezra, no, they're really the same. We have the first and the tenth are always chosen, the first and the tenth, and we had no idea what he was talking about, the first and the tenth, in agriculture, animals, and now we see in people as well. That took us all the way back to various midrashim that describe that Yaakov makes this vow saying that he's going to give a tenth. So it's by people also. So therefore we saw all of this creative math in order to get number 10 on Levi, which is at the end I said, you can do this fairly easily, that the 10th has to be given, you just have to identify which is the 10th. You take away the 4 firstborn, you're left with 8, but you have to give it the 10th. So which one is it? It's the 8th will end up being the second one when you count them all the way around, and therefore Levi becomes number 10, designated for holiness, designated for Kedusha. So therefore, you're left in Yaakov's family, the firstborn designated for Kedusha, Levi designated for Kedusha. But we have a problem. What's our problem? The problem is that Levi is somebody who are bloodthirsty killers, and that's a little bit of a problem. How do they become appropriate to work in the Beit HaMikdash? And this bloodthirsty killing even played itself out by the foot of Har Sinai when they killed those who worshipped the eagle. So we need somehow to transform and to reveal this inner holiness within Levi. How does this transformation take place? By lifting them up. By lifting them up, somehow then we bring them closer to Aaron, closer to Chesed, and therefore the transformation from Din to Chesed. Sfat Emet admittedly said the same concept the other way around, in terms of that Avraham was not tested, was lifted up, because Avraham had this unmitigated Chesed applied in all places, even in inappropriate places, and therefore he needs to be limited, and that's Avram somehow flowing into Yitzchak, and therefore Elokim nisat Avram. The Elokim is what's important here. God, Midat Hadin, uplifts Avraham to take him from Chesed momentarily to Din, but for what objective? To bring him to real Chesed, and that's going to be through Yaakov. So that's the process that we saw over there in terms of the Sfat Emet. When we came back, we saw, oh, that's the same exact word or phrase, which is used by Har Sinai as well, that God wants to uplift the people. And there Rashi already says it as pshat, is to uplift them, to transform them to something else, to transform them into holiness. So we're, right, Am Yisrael recoil, they're not interested. What ends up happening? They end up sinning, they end up making the golden calf. Arguably, the firstborn is the ones who serve as Kohanim by the golden calf, becoming inappropriate to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Levi comes in still with their knives, and they're chopping up people. They're the ones who are now going to be chosen, but now we need to undergo this transformation. They're going to be lifted up. There is somebody who's part of Levi who rebels against this. He absolutely rebels against this. And maybe, again, that we never noticed the importance of this whole midrash that talks about Korach's rebellion, or the starting point of his rebellion. He didn't like his hair being cut off. He didn't like the process of becoming tahor. He didn't like the process of being lifted up. He finds every single part of this to be completely humiliating, and that's what gets him to go back and say, who said that we need more holiness? Who said the Levium need more holiness? He seems, by the way, to have been very happy with his old type of Levi contentious behavior, ready to take on Moshe, ready to take on anybody, because he seems to be focusing on the old type of Levi and rebelling against the shift that took place to turn him into this new, calmer, what would be the word, gentler, kinder Levi. He's not interested in this at all. But as I said, what's fascinating is that all these elements that we had in our parsha are exactly the elements that he rebels against, and that's where the whole rebellion of Korach begins.